Acts chapter number 3, we're going to begin in verse number 1. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we pray together, dear God, as we seek you together this moment, Lord, this preacher certainly needs help. And Lord, I appreciate the prayers of the congregation before the preacher preaches, during while I'm preaching. It's sure good to know that while I'm up here, there's folks that are whispering prayers and asking help for me. And so, Lord, I want to pray for them in return. Lord, I believe, dear God, I believe with all my heart, there's not one person that's here by accident. I believe that you've something in the message for each and every one. And so I pray, Lord, we'd open our hearts wide and just, Lord, maybe you could bring to mind, as we are challenged at the end of the message, maybe you can bring some very specific things to mind, maybe some very specific people to mind. Lord, the songwriter years ago wrote the song, "Make Me a Blessing to Someone Today." Lord, may we remember that song throughout the week as we remember what we learned. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you, folks, for standing. I appreciate that. I was captured by this verse, verse number 7. I was captured by it. I have read this story, I suppose, scores, hundreds probably of times. I've preached out of this story many, many, many times. But the Lord took a little phrase here in verse number 7, and he just brought it to my heart and brought it to my mind. I want to say this. There's profit in taking time to read the Bible. Yes. There's profit in taking time to memorize the Bible. There's profit in taking time to meditate on the Bible. And you know what? The more the Word of God that you get inside of you, the more that the Holy Spirit has to work with. And by the way, the more ammunition and the better weapons you'll have to defeat Satan when he comes and tries to drag you down. The Bible's so important. And so as I was thinking of this story this week, I hadn't read it in a while, but the Holy Spirit brings verses to mind when you need it. And he brought verse 7 to my mind, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Notice that little phrase there, "and lifted him up." And immediately his feet, ankle bones received strength. I'm going to preach on this subject this morning. Lift somebody up. Lift somebody up. Amen. This is the story of an apostolic miracle. When Jesus picked 12 men, we can go back in the Gospels and show you this, that he gave them unique gifts. He gave them a special anointing to heal the sick and have divine empowerment over unclean spirits. And by the way, these were apostolic gifts. The apostles used these gifts in the book of Acts to jumpstart the New Testament church. And so we see these apostolic gifts come on the scene for a period of time and then pass away as the apostles passed away. I want to say this. If you see somebody today that claims to be an apostle, he's a false prophet, okay? There are no apostles today. If you go to a church that purports to be able to exercise apostolic gifts, you're in a church that's teaching false doctrine. These were given for a time. They served their purposes. And then as the apostles passed away, these gifts passed away with them. But I like to read about them.
Yes.
I like to picture the events. I like to see these men in the book of Acts use what God had given them. By the way, I may not have these same gifts, but I can use what God has given me.
Amen.
And you may not have these same gifts, but we can still use what God has given you. And so think about these things. Let me make some observations in my introduction. I'm going to give you several things. And this is a trick that a preacher uses to be able to preach two messages instead of one. What he will say is something like, let me make some observations in my introduction, then he gives you an entire outline. And then you're sitting there thinking, well, that was just the introduction, and then I can get by with preaching a second message. And so there you go. Now you understand what's happening to you. Please don't leave after the introduction, all right? Some observations about this in my introduction. The miracle happened during the hour of prayer. Did you notice that? The Bible says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. You know, I want to remind us to never underestimate the power of prayer. Now, if it was during the hour of prayer, that means while the miracle is happening, there are people that are beginning to pray. Maybe people who have been praying, maybe people that were praying in that moment. And folks, I think when we get to heaven one of these days, we may really begin to understand how many miracles happen just because somebody prayed. How many miracles happened here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church just because people were willing to come here on a Wednesday night. And yes, we teach the Bible some on Wednesday night, but we also have our time of united prayer. And never underestimate the power of prayer. God wants you to pray. God wants me to pray. The Bible says this, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. All of us are going to face those times of need. Preacher, what do I do during a time of need? Come boldly, come boldly, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace. God wants us to pray. People need to pray. Our people need us to pray. So God wants us to pray, but folks, I believe everybody ought to be prayed for. Did you think about that? Everybody ought to have somebody praying for them. I believe the Bible teaches this. 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That means it's God's will, God's desire that everybody have somebody that prays for them. I have before in the past challenged our congregation. Many of us know people that maybe do not have somebody praying for them. Now think about that. You know, I'm sure glad that I can go through the day knowing that there's some people that pray for this preacher. I have folks in my church come to me and say, preacher, every day I lift you up. I have preachers that every single Sunday morning stop and pray over a list of other preachers, and they'll text me and say, preacher, I just spent some time praying for you. I hope you have a wonderful Sunday. That's a good feeling. But you know, some people will live days and weeks and months at a time and not have anybody praying for them. So God wants us to pray. People need us to pray. But you know what? I need what prayer does for my soul. There's something about praying that is beneficial to us. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We've got a nation that claims that it's in the midst of a mental health crisis. Seems like everybody's losing their minds. Well, the Bible says this, if we would simply, through prayer and supplication, bring everything to the Lord with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Listen, I need to pray. Yes, God wants me to pray, and people need me to pray, but I need to pray. You know why? There's something about casting all our cares upon Him, knowing that He cares for us. And the Bible promises to those that will take the time to pray that the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Preacher, I'm worried about this, and I'm worried about that, and I'm worried about this, and I'm tore up about this. Pray about it. Pray about it. Prayer gives you an opportunity to change your worry for the peace of God. Cast your care. Preacher, I don't know what to do about this. I don't think I can do anything. Well, God can do everything. So why don't you cast that care on? So this miracle happened during the hour of prayer. Number two, this miracle happened because two men were where they were supposed to be. Notice Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Why were they going? Because it was the hour of prayer. Why were they going? Because they were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why were they going? Because, you know what? The church doors were open. It's time to pray. We're going to go pray. They were where they're supposed to be. In Acts 3:3, who seen Peter and John, look at verse 3, who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple. Where were they? They were about to go into the temple. Why did they meet this man? Listen, because they were where they were supposed to be. I want to say this. If you want to witness God performing miracles through your life, here's maybe a simple but important piece of advice. Be where you're supposed to be. Be where you're supposed to be. If it's time to be at church, be at church. If it's time to go to work, go to work. If it's time to be home, listen to me, be home. You know how people, how many men and women have gotten in trouble simply because when they were should have been heading home, they decided to stop somewhere along the way that they shouldn't. Think about that. If it's time to go bus calling, then go bus calling. If it's time to read your Bible, read your Bible. Many Christians have missed opportunities to be a part of a divine miracle simply because they were not where they were supposed to be when they were supposed to be there. So you think about that. This miracle happened during the hour of prayer. This miracle happened because two men were where they were supposed to be. Number three, this miracle was done in the name of Jesus. And I'm gonna say this and emphasize this many, many times. Never say that Peter performed this miracle. Never say that John performed this miracle. God is the only one that can perform a miracle. And you know what? Peter said this, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name. Come on, think about this. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He didn't say, I'm a big shot apostle, so in my name, rise up and walk. Hey, you got two big shot apostles here, so in our name, rise up and walk. You know what? He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And folks, if there's going to be a miracle, I promise you this, Jesus has to be involved in it. Jesus is the one that's going to perform it. So you know what, folks? We can't perform miracles. I'll emphasize this often. But we can get people to the one. Come on. We can get people to the one who can perform the miracle. Number four, this miracle caused all those who witnessed it to be filled with wonder and amazement. And we see in the closing verses, verse 9 through 11, the effect that this had on the people that witnessed it. All the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Only God can perform miracles. Only God allows, often though, God allows his disciples to be a part of the miracles that he performs. Peter and John did not perform the miracle, but hey, think about this, they got to have a part of it. I'm going to get to what I'm going to get to here. We're laying the groundwork. But I want you to focus and I want you to think about how God did use Peter as part of this miracle. You think about this, Peter and John that day, you know what? During the time of prayer, they were where they should be. You know what? They knew that if they were going to help anybody, they had to do it in the name of Jesus. They knew that if God worked, it would have an impact on other people and bring them to Christ also. So we see Peter and John, even though they did not and could not perform a miracle themselves. Well, I want you to notice some things. And now we're getting into the second outline, which would be called the sermon, as opposed to the first outline, which was just the introduction. I'm going to give it to you quick. Watch this. Think about the ears of those who see miracles. The ears of those who see miracles. Peter and John heard what I believe many others ignored that day. You look at verse 2 and 3, a certain lame man from his mother's womb. Think about this man's condition, folks. From his mother's womb, he was born this way. He didn't have a time of normalcy and then an accident that caused him to be lame. No, he's never known what it is to walk. He's never known what it is to skip. He's never known what it is to run. He's never known what it is to leap. Now, he's about to find out in this story, but up to this point, he's never experienced it. And you know what? The Bible says he was carried there to the temple. Think about that. And then they laid him daily at the temple, which is called Beautiful, and to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. You know, there was no government program. I want to say it again. There was no government program. So, you know what? He was at the mercy of the charity of God's people. So there he stood. There he sat at the gate of the temple. And the Bible says he's asking alms of them that entered into the temple. And think about that. Who's seen Peter and John about to go into the temple? Asked an alms. So here's a man needing help. There's a man wanting help. And he's willing to voice that he needs to help. And he's willing to say it out loud. I need your help. Can you help me? I need your help. Think about the ears of those that see miracles. What's the difference between the men, I think, that see miracles, the women that see miracles, the Christians that see miracles on a regular basis? I think it has to start with us listening. Come on, somebody needs help. Somebody's asking for help. Are we hearing what Peter heard? Are we hearing what John heard? You know what? I think they followed Jesus long enough to realize that Jesus, come on, if they learned one thing by following Jesus, is often Jesus would hear what the disciples would not hear. Often he would see what the disciples would not see. So the ears of Peter and John that day, we're going somewhere with this. Hey, if we don't hear it, we're not going to lift anybody up. How about the eyes of those who see miracles? Look at verse number 4. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. And that means the man was not looking at them. I believe as he sat, think about this, young people. I believe as he sat there at the temple and he's asking alms, he's asking it very humbly. He's not even willing or feel worthy to look into the eyes of those that he would hope to get help from. He's staring at the ground and his hand is out and he's asking for help and he's asking for alms. And you know what's so sad, folks? The devil can beat people down to the point where they don't even have the strength to look up anymore. They don't even have the strength to look up anymore. They've asked for help and begged for help so many times. I'm sure there's times where he went home from that temple gate having received some alms and maybe enough to get him through one more week, but I wonder how many times, Brother Dan, he may have come back from that and just maybe didn't even have enough but to eat a few days and to go hungry for the rest of the week. He's beaten down to the point where he didn't even feel worthy to look in the eyes. By the way, everybody walking past him were able to walk. Everybody walking into the temple that day, they were able to leap. They could run. And yet we see the eyes of those who see miracles. Well, I'm going to give you a challenge. Stay with me. It's going to be simple at the end. I think of the voice of those who see miracles. Peter and John not only heard what others ignored, Peter and John not only saw what others failed to see, but Peter and John said what the man needed to hear. Yes. In Acts 3:6, Peter said, silver and gold have I not. I want to stop and ask you this. Say this to you. Well, preacher, this person has a need, but it's so great that I don't have the resources to fill it. So many times we think about what we don't have or what we can't do that we just surrender and do nothing. You know, one thing you find out about Peter and John when you listen to what they said, they were very honest concerning their insufficiency. You know, I think if you're going to see miracles, one of the first things you have to do is just proclaim to everybody, I don't have what it takes to help you in the way you need help. I don't have the power or the ability to change your circumstances. You know, folks, I meet people every single week. I don't have what it needs or what they think it needs to turn their life around. But I know the one that has everything. I know the one who can. And so he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Now, I think we all ought to stop there. But such as I have, give I thee. If you're not careful, you're going to say, well, I don't have enough to do this, or I can't fix their whole life. I can't fix their whole problem. I can't change their whole circumstance. I don't have the money that they need. I don't have the power that they need. I don't have the ability to change the circumstances that they're facing. Well, what do you have? Do you have a minute to listen? Do you have the eyes to see? I mean, you know, sometimes, come on, we've all been, and we're going to talk about at the end of the message. I want you to think about this. We've all been at places in our life where the devil's beat us down like that, and somebody came along, and they heard what nobody else heard, and they saw what nobody else saw, and they said what you needed to hear. And folks, listen to me. If somebody came along and did that for me and you, maybe this week, come on, I'm getting to it. Come on, they lifted him up. Come on, lift somebody up. Just lift somebody up. He said, but such as I have, I've got time. I've got compassion. I've got care. By the way, I've got Jesus. And you know what? If it wasn't for him, I could be in your condition or even worse. So I've got Jesus. And then I'm getting down to the fourth one. And this is where the message is. The hand of those who see the miracles. The ears of those who see the miracles. The eyes of those that see miracles. The voice of those who see miracles. Peter and John heard what others ignored. They saw. Come on, they saw what others failed to see. They said what the man needed to hear. And then Peter reached out and personally got involved. He touched someone others avoided. He touched someone others avoided. Now, look at that verse again, because I'm just fascinated by it. Think about this. Verse number 7, watch this. Let me find it here. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him and lifted him up. Now that's what captured my attention this week. Now think about this. The miracle hadn't happened yet. It's about to happen, but it hasn't happened. Come on, when he heard him, there was no miracle. Come on, think about this. When he saw him, there was no miracle. When he was willing to say what he needed to hear, there was still no miracle. But you know what he did? The Bible says he took him by the hand and lifted him up. And, come on, let's read the rest of the verse. And immediately his feet and ankle and bones received strength. That's what got a hold of me this week. I'll just be honest with you. That's what got a hold of me. You know what? God wanted to perform a miracle. God was going to perform a miracle. But you know what? He needed somebody to understand that they can't perform a miracle, but they can hear. I can't perform a miracle, but I can see. I can't perform a miracle, but I can say. I can't perform a miracle, but good night, I can reach down and lift somebody up, lift somebody up, lift somebody up. What an assignment for this week. Look at this great host of people. We're blessed to have the number of people at church today that we have. Just imagine if all of us said, God, if you'll help me to hear them, I'll hear them. If you help me to see them, I'll see them. If you help me to give me the right words, I'll share it with them. But Lord, I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to personally get involved. I'm going to reach down. I'm going to grab a hold. I'm going to try to lift somebody up, and then I'm going to trust you to do what I cannot do. Amen. Wonder where Peter learned this. I thought about that. Where did he learn this? Please mark your place there in Acts chapter 3. Let's go back to Mark, the book of Mark. I want to take you to two different stories in the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1, verse number 29, and forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, Mark 1, 29, and forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her, and he came. Are you listening? And he came, and he took her by the hand. Did you see the next phrase? He lifted her up. He lifted her up. And then look at what comes after that. And immediately, are you getting this? I mean, they learned from the master. 3 years they were his disciples. And you know what? As you become and decide that you're going to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you walk with him and you listen to him and you ask him questions and you see his miracles and you see, you know what? You know what Peter was doing that day? I don't know what to do to help you, but except do what I watched the Savior do. And you know what? I was there the day. I was there the day that he came in. And you know what? My wife's mother, think about this, is the same Peter right here. My wife's mother was sick and we was afraid we were going to lose her. And you know what? He walked in and he reached down and took her by the hand and he lifted her up. I'm not Jesus and I can't perform miracles and I don't have what you need. I don't have any silver and I don't have any gold. Wait a minute. Even if they had, it might have taken care of him for another week or another month. But folks, listen to me. What this man needed was not alms. He needed somebody to change his circumstance, to change his life, to transform him. And you know what? There's only one person knows how to do that. I love this. Peter's just like, you know what? Think of that moment. He's going back in time. What did Jesus teach us? What are we supposed to do? Well, I remember what he did for my mother-in-law. Now, if you will, go to Mark chapter number 9. Show you another place. Oh, this is good for us. Lift somebody up. Preacher, I don't have the money that they need. Lift them up. I can't change their circumstance. Lift them up. You know what? I can't perform miracles. Lift them up. Preacher, it'd take a miracle. I don't have it. Lift them up. Now think about verse number 25. By the way, Father, if you read on up above there, Father brings his child. Wow. And this father's just tore up because there is an unclean spirit that is tormenting and torturing his child. Verse 17, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? I'm only going to be here a short amount of time. Peter, John, you need to pay attention. How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Put yourself in that daddy's position. Picture that as being your son. And you know what? Bless his heart. You know, Jesus said in verse 23 to the Father, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. I love this Father's answer. And straightway the father child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And you know what, folks? How many times have I come to Jesus with that same attitude? I want to believe you can fix this, but it seems so impossible. And we've tried this and we've tried that. We've tried this and we've tried this. And we just can't get to it. We can't find it. We can't get the answer. I live with this day and night. Maybe this man slipped across the door of his house, trying to prevent that young man from going out in the night and destroying himself or killing himself. Maybe he slept at the door of his boy's bedroom. I don't know, but this has changed his life and he's carried this burden and he needs a miracle. Verse 25, when Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, in so much that many said, he's dead. Oh, come on now, here we are. Look at this. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Preacher, you know, I believe this man wanted to believe. I feel like this man sometimes. I'm talking about the man back at the gate. Think about that lame man. Think about this father that had this son. Think about Peter's mother who's preparing to say goodbye to her mom for the last time. I believe as he sat by the beautiful gate, I believe this man wanted to believe what Peter and John was telling him. I think this man longed to be healed. I think this man wanted to walk like others walk. But before the miracle of God occurred, this lame man needed, come on, someone to hear him, someone to see him. Come on, think about this. Someone to say what he needed to hear, but he needed much more than that. He needed the touch of a human hand. Now watch this, folks. God's hand is about to reach down and do what Peter's hand cannot do. But before God's hand reaches down and touches those bones and rearranges them, touches those legs and gives them strength, touches those feet and makes them straight. You know what, folks? Before God's hand touched that man, a man's hand reached down and said, give me your hand, and began to lift him up. Now, what I'm saying is this. By the way, this is the challenge for this week. Here it is. Lift somebody up. Amen. Lift somebody up. Preacher, I need lifted up. Let me tell you how the best way I can give you help for those of you that feel like you need lifted up. Go find somebody that needs lifted up more than you need lifted up. I promise you. I promise you that is so true. Here's the challenge for the week. Lift somebody up. Lift somebody up. Hey, you children, you young men can do that. You young ladies can do that. Your sons and daughters can do that this week. We live in a world where people, think about this, push others aside and sadly even push people down. Many have been so trodden under that they no longer have the strength to stand up. They don't even have the strength to look up. Can I say this? Somebody needs to hear them. Somebody needs to see them. Somebody needs to speak to them about Jesus. Somebody needs to have the faith to reach down and lift them up. I love this poem. I'll read it to you. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or a song, if I can show somebody he is traveling wrong, then my life shall not be in vain. If I can do my duty as Christian ought, if I can bring back beauty to a world abroad, if I can spread love's message that the master taught, then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. If I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living shall not be in vain. Lift somebody up. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Lift somebody up. Peter could not heal his palsy, but he could lift him up. Peter could not change his past, but Peter could lift him up. Peter could not perform a miracle, but Peter could lift him up. Peter could not finance his infirmities, but Peter could lift him up. Peter could not heal his feet and ankle bones, but Peter could lift him up. Peter could not change his status from lame man to leaper, from sad man to shouter, from wounded to walker, from pathetic to praiser. But Peter could reach down and lift him up. Listen, I'm not Jesus, neither are you. Peter wasn't Jesus, but he could hear what Jesus would have heard. He could see what Jesus would have seen. He could speak what Jesus would have spoken. He could reach out like Jesus would have reached. He could lift him up as Christ would have lifted him up. When faced with an impossible situation, I guess we have two choices. Do nothing because I cannot do the impossible, which I can't fix it. Do something and leave the impossible to the Lord. Peter said, I cannot heal this man. I do not have the silver he needs. I do not have the gold he needs. I cannot perform the miracle he needs. Okay, he said this, what can I do? I can point him to the one who can heal him. I can point him to the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I can point him to the one whose home was paved with streets of gold. I can point him to the one who can perform the miracle that he needs. I can't heal him, but I can lift him up. I can lift him up. I love this story. It's such a simple story, but to me, it's just one of the evidences of the fact that we have a divine God who understands where we are. One of my best friends in all of the world was going through a terrible time, a tough time in his life. I won't share all the details because they're private. He had gone to such despair that he wondered, is life really even worth living anymore? He was going to work every day, but he was going through the motions. He didn't even feel anything. He cried to God and he didn't seem to get an answer. And I picture him in the same state spiritually as that beggar who was just to the point where one hand was up saying, please, and the eyes were down and the expectations were zero. He called me one day and he said, something happened today I need to talk to you about. I said, tell me the story. And he said, well, I was driving to work. And he said, I was trying to get from my house to where I work, and I got stopped at a stoplight. And he said, preacher, I don't know how to tell you this. I don't know how to even explain it, but I can't even tell you the darkness and the burden that I carried. And he said, beside me at the same stoplight, there was another guy. And he was to the left of me. I was to the right of him. We were waiting for the light to turn green. We were heading in the same direction. And he said, all of a sudden, he lowered his window, his passenger window. And he hollers, and I look over, and he's going like this. So I rolled my window down, and he leaned over, and he said, I don't know who you are, and I don't know what's going on in your life, but God wanted me to tell you that he loves you, and that he hasn't forgotten you, and that he's got a purpose for all that you're going through. So don't give up. He smiled at the guy, rolled his window up, turned green. Guy took off. He didn't even hit the gas. Cars are beeping behind him. He's weeping. He finally realizes I need to do something. He pulls over in a parking lot. And he said, it's like all of a sudden heaven opened. And the grace of God filled the truck. And all of a sudden I felt God's presence in a way I hadn't felt in months. And you know what, folks? God wanted to do that all along. You know what God was waiting for? Peter reached down and get a hold of him. Peter, do what you can, but I don't have any silver. Do what you can, but I don't have any gold. Do what you can. You can hear him, can't you? Yes. You can see him, can't you? Yes. Is that your tongue or is it my tongue? It's your tongue, Lord. Then you can say what I would have said, yes. And then you go past that and you can reach down and you can touch him. If you'll do that, and you'll help start helping him to his feet, you just watch what I do. I brought an email, a letter that I got through email, and I want to read it to you. And it came this weekend. Isn't it interesting? God gives you a sermon, and then sometimes you walk into your office on a Saturday and you open your email and God says, this is the sermon. This is from a young lady. Her name is Ava. I won't give her last name. She's 17 years old. You'll hear this when I read the letter. She attends the church that my nephew is the youth pastor at in Madison, Alabama. And I probably have met her as far as saying hi to her at some point because I've been down there several times. And she's come to hear me preach. So I'll read the letter to you. Watch this. Listen. Hello, exclamation point, teenage girl. They love capitals too, by the way. You probably don't know me. You probably don't know me, but boy, do I know you. Exclamation point. They use a lot of exclamation points. My name is Ava. I'm 17 years old and about to be a senior in high school. Listen to this. When I was born, my father was a drunk. But when I was 3 years old, my daddy got saved. Whew. Who's her daddy? I don't know her daddy. How did he get saved? Don't know the circumstance, but I guarantee you somebody. Yep. Somebody. Somebody witnessed that old drunk at work. Somebody looked across, come on, looked across the road and saw some drunk. Come on, think about it. Jesus worked a miracle in his life and delivered him from that sin. It wasn't until I was 10 years old that my family walked into our first Bible-believing independent Baptist church. It was Madison Baptist Church in Madison, Alabama. It was that year on Christmas Eve that I received the greatest Christmas gift of all. I got saved. Exclamation point. There ought to have been an exclamation point there. How'd she get saved? I don't know. You know the circumstances? No. But I know this. Somebody heard. Somebody saw. Come on, wake up, church. Come on, wake up, church. Are we sleepwalking through life? Somebody spoke. Somebody reached down. Somebody knelt beside her. Somebody had an open Bible. Somebody had compassion in their heart. 6 months later, God called me to missions, and I surrendered. About this time, I was getting involved in youth, and your nephew was my youth pastor, John Ross. Through Brother John, I got connected to your books. By the way, you ought to watch Brother John. Come on, John Ross. Church, listen to me. You'd be so happy. You'd be so thankful. You'd be so pleased. Sure nice to know some of our young people out there serving the Lord. You ought to watch Amber with those teen girls in that youth department. She just loves them and loves them and loves on them and loves on them. And I'm thinking, here's a little girl that has somebody. Come on. Come on. People should not be coming in and out of here and nobody's hearing them. People should not be coming in and out of here and nobody's seeing them. Come on. People shouldn't be coming in and out of here and nobody's saying, God, give me the words to say. Are you thinking about it? Come on. Look at this group right here today. Look at this group right here today. Wonder if all of us just decided we was going to go out and, you know what, I can't be Jesus, but I've hung around him long enough to know what he would do. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit. I know I'm never going to get through this letter. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help me to hear what Jesus would have heard and see what Jesus would have saw. I'm just saying there's people in her life that says, come on, you can. Come on, but it's impossible. But my dad was a drunkard. Doesn't matter. You can. God can use you. Woo. So through Brother John, I got connected to your books. I started to listen to your sermons, and you quickly became my favorite preacher. There's no exclamation point after that. That may be the only sentence in here that I'm going to put one in there, okay? Not only did you influence, by the way, what's that book? Why you take time to write books? Because those books do this. Yeah. Why take the, by the way, thank you. Thank you. This is a young lady that gets on and listens to our messages. If it was up to Jerry Ross, she would never hear a one of them. Thank you guys that work the PA booth. Thank you guys that work, you know, all of this stuff that we're doing, folks. And it may, this is for you too. Now you got a little girl that's not only hearing her preacher, but she's hearing her favorite preacher. Did you hear that, Brother Mike Allison? Her favorite preacher. Exclamation. No exclamation, question mark. Okay. Not only did you influence my life, but so did Brother John Ross and Miss Amber. He so often spoke of you, his grandpa. He called him Papa, though. This is Dad, though we were dead yet speaking. Let me help you, little girl. Let me help you, little girl. Whew. Listen, I don't think there's one hero in anybody's life. If there is, it's Jesus Christ. But a bunch of us can be heroes. So he said that. He called him Papa, though in the testimony of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that's y'all. And for that, I have to thank you. This past year, I went to Camp Beamy. That's Baptist International Missions Incorporated. They have a camp to train, just to take teenagers and that are interested in missions. And they spend a week at camp there to find my fit in missions. With almost 100% certainty that I was going to graduate and go to Bible college and then be a missionary to Ireland. It was then at Camp Beamy that God began to call me to Alaska. Then she says this, bro. That's me, bro. She says, bro, I'm a 5 foot tall Alabama girl who can count on one hand how many times I've seen snow. I thought for sure I could never go to Alaska, so I ran from God and told him no. I then went on a missions trip with my youth group to Arizona with Brother Joel Haynes to the Navajo Indians. All right, so now we got Brother Haynes.
Yep, good.
This is how this works, folks.
Right.
Listen, the life that you touch for a brief moment, you don't know, but that's a process that God's working in their lives, and some of this we'll never figure out. Very seldom will you ever get a letter like this that helps put all the pieces together. Think about that. It was then God grew my desire to reach Native Americans. Still, I ran from God. I love it when a girl's just honest. Come on, some of you young ladies in your heart, you're running from God. You're already planning out what you're going to do next. He's been trying to get your, come on, young men, he's trying to get your attention. He's trying to get you focused. He's trying to get you to grow up and listen a little bit. You need to listen. Don't run from the Lord. So she said this, after, still I ran from God. After that, I went to BBCYC in Walls, Mississippi. That's the youth conference where you preached. And guess what? I think every sermon was about the missions trip you took to Alaska. That's not true. Only one was. But you know what? When God's trying to get your attention. It's amazing how no matter what anybody says, they're all saying the same thing. Though I knew God had you preach those messages for me, I still ran. But I bought your book, The Alaska Lessons. I got a few chapters in. I had to stop reading because God was burdening me so bad. November, Brother Ray Painter, an aviation missionary, presented at our church, and I knew God wanted me to be a missionary pilot. While he was presenting, I prayed to surrender to God to be a pilot. As soon as I said amen, Brother Painter said, yes, we have pilot missionaries all the way from Alaska, from Africa to Alaska. And the minute he said Alaska, that's when God broke my heart. He rebuked me for being unwilling to surrender to what he wanted and instead cling to what I wanted. So that's when I, by the way, who's Brother Painter? Do you know Brother Painter? Anybody know Brother Painter? I don't know him either. Who is he? Hey, Sunday school teacher, every week, whether you know it or not, you're doing this for somebody. Hey, Children's Church, Primary Church, that shouldn't be babysitting things. That ought to be lifting up services. Go on, fifth and sixth grade, that ought to be lifting up services. Tonight, Brother Jim Townsend is going to come. You know what? God could use the message tonight, Brother Jim Townsend brings, and there's somebody in here, and God's going to reach down and say, Brother Townsend, get a hold of them and pull a little. If they'll just pull a little, I'll do the rest. Think about that. So there's Brother Painter. So you know what she does? God breaks her heart. He rebuked me for being willing to surrender to what I want, but not what he wants. So that's when I finally gave up running from him, surrendered to Alaska. Since then, I've fallen in love with Alaska, and I'm planning a mission trip there next summer. I've been preparing for Alaska by taking, this is a 5-foot Alabama girl, by taking welding and plumbing and electrical classes through my homeschool curriculum. My dad just took on a church. He became a pastor in December. Now I'm settling into being a pastor's daughter, and God has opened up so many opportunities for me to serve, playing the piano in church, to starting a free prayer tent for our local community. I see how God is preparing me for Alaska. After I graduate, I'm going to get my aviation and pilot's license, and then when I'm 21, up there somewhere in Alaska. Come on, Brother Anthony, there's going to be some 5-foot Alabama girl flying a bush plane. When I turn 21, I'm going to Affections Above Aviations to get all my necessary bush pilot training and license. Then after that, Lord willing, I'll get to, as your nephew says, I'll get to tearing it up for Jesus in Alaska. I just want to let you know that there's still hope for America and for Alaska. And God is still calling and burdening young people. If you remember, please pray for my church and me as I do my hardest to simply please the Lord. Devil's already been attacking me with doubts whether or not God would really want me to serve him. Of course, I know these are attacks of the devil, but the Lord is making these trials a blessing by teaching me mental toughness and fully trusting on him in every area of my life. Thank you for all that you do. Sorry for the long email. Well, I'm not. I'm just so excited to share what God has done. 17-year-old girl signs off 4 souls. Ava. You say, preacher, all through that letter, different people came along. Maybe not even understanding the importance of the moment. Just saw somebody that was beaten down and couldn't look up. You say, preacher, you lifted her up. You know what this letter did for me this morning when I reread it? This little girl lifted me up. And by the way, if you'll get busy in your life just lifting people up, and you forget about your problems, come on, and you get off your pity party. Come on, cancel it, withdraw all the invitations. You just throw your life into lifting other people up. Isn't it amazing that eventually, here and there, it'll all come back to you? Lift somebody up. That's the assignment this week. Lift somebody up. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. I don't know this little girl. I know she was born into a drunkard's home. I know somebody cared enough about a drunkard to get him to Jesus. I have no doubt she's had her ups and downs. I have no doubt that she's has, as she shared her struggles, and even now, she's asking for prayer because of satanic attacks in her life. That little girl's just like everybody else, I guess. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to hear like you would hear, to see what you would see, to say what you would say. And then, Lord, go that last step, that all-important step, to reach out and get involved, to reach out and get a hold. Lord, thank you that when we are willing to do what is possible, you are willing to do the impossible.